Harmonia, the ancient word for the union of melody and harmony and the music of the spheres. I'm Angela Mariani, inviting you to join me for the next hour as today's performers of medieval, Renaissance, and Baroque music bring to life the music of the distant past. On Harmonia this week, while plenty of early music demonstrates incredible artistry and subtlety, even in the 17th century, people needed to get down once in a while. What might a party or the local bar have sounded like hundreds of years ago? This week, we'll listen to music for celebrating and getting thy groove on. Partial support for this edition of Harmonia comes from Goldberg Magazine, an international magazine of early music, with subscriptions available on the web at goldbergweb.com. We can only imagine now what the steps of the Bear's Dance, played here by David Douglas, Paul Odette, and Andrew Lawrence King, may have been. While it's likely the steps were meant to mimic a bear's lumbering walk, in 17th century England it may indeed have been music to accompany a dancing bear. But for the rest of this hour, we'll concentrate on music for dancing humans. What was played at dance parties in the late Renaissance and early Baroque periods? Baroque dance is often used as background music in stores where most of us can't afford to buy anything. But it wasn't as stuffy a scene as you might think, as we'll discover in a moment. One of the most active dances of the later Renaissance and early Baroque was the galliard. It usually followed a more sedate dance called the pavane, which was essentially an elegant stroll. As was more common, the male partners got the glory parts in the galliard, while the females did a watered-down version. The galliard has a skipping rhythm, and during the long beat of the skip, the men would jump as high as they could. If a man were highly skilled, he might even have time to wiggle his feet during the jump.
Thank you.
We began with the Sexcorde of Viols and a pair of Galliards by Johann Hermann Schein from his 1617 collection Banchetto Musicale, and finished with a Galliard by Johann Sommer performed by Consensus Musicus Vienne. Suites of contrasting dances were an important part of the lute repertoire. While it was used throughout Europe, many people associate the lute with England because of lutenist and composer John Dowland. Here's a Galliard he wrote to his most famous tune, Lacrimae, followed by three other 17th century English dances.
Thank you.
Holodet performed John Dowland's Galliard to Lacrime, followed by Matthew Wadsworth with a Galliard by Philip Rossiter. Finally, August Denhard performed Kemp's Jig and Mrs. Winter's Jump. The Volta dance is named for the lifts or vaults that are included in the steps. The ladies in this dance could be shot to such dizzying heights by their partners that quite close contact between them was necessary to assure a safe landing. It wasn't the danger of the leaps, but this close physical contact and a certain lack of control of the ladies' skirts during the jumping and whirling steps that ultimately led to the Volta being banned at the French court. As dance master Twino Arbaud put it, "I leave it to you to judge whether it is a becoming thing for a young girl to take long strides and separations of the legs, and whether in this La Volta both honor and health are not involved and at stake." Three different tunes for La Volta were performed by Ensemble Bourrasque and the Westra Eros Pipers, all from Michael Praetorius's anthology called Terpsichore. In case leaping, jumping, and flying skirts weren't quite enough excitement, one could always dance the candlestick or torch brawl, which raised the bar by incorporating fire. The men began by dancing around the room with lighted candles or torches while choosing their partners. The couples then danced while dodging dripping wax or pitch, and then the ladies had their chance to dance about with the flaming accessories. The music seems surprisingly tame for such a potentially dangerous activity. Perhaps caution is the better part of valor. Ensemble Bourrasque performed The Torch Brawl, originally published in Twino Arbo's Dance Manual, or Cassographie, and here arranged by early 17th century composer Michael Praetorius. We followed with several more dances in the same form, a brawl by Étienne Dutertre from Concentus Musicus Vienne, Brahe from the Harp Consort and the Brahe de Poitou and Brahe de Causse from Ensemble Strada. You're listening to Harmonia, a program of early music that comes to you from the studios of WFIU at Indiana University. Partial support for Harmonia comes from Penco Incorporated of Bedford, Indiana. Partial support also comes from Early Music America, publisher of Early Music America magazine, on the web at www.earlymusic.org. I'm Angela Mariani. An enormous range of style can be achieved, even with the same piece, depending on how a dance tune is performed, from the simplest fiddle rendition to the quirkiest folk ensemble to the most sophisticated arrangement. Here are two examples that couldn't be more different. Two similar dances in very different arrangements. Idlewild performed the Brahe Gascon, and Ensemble Braccio performed the Brahe de Poitou. The upper crust has always borrowed from the other half to find new and exciting dances. From at least medieval times, the wealthy borrowed rustic dances from the peasant folk who really knew how to have fun. By the 18th century, this borrowing extended even to the nobility dressing up as shepherds and shepherdesses for each other's entertainment. While country dances may have arisen from not-so-genteel quarters, they were most popular pieces for refined young ladies to pick out on their virginals. After Byron Shankman's rendition of the Worcester Brawls from the Fitzwilliam Virginal book, we heard early music ensemble Hesperus with three selections from The Dancing Master, an anthology collected by John Playford in 1651. Cuckold's All in a Row, Roughty Tufty, and Parson's Farewell. To fully indulge herself in her role as musically inclined shepherdess, a lady around the turn of the 18th century might take up a rustic instrument as well. Hurdy-gurdy, of all things, enjoyed a fad as a parlor instrument, and men and women alike played airs and dances on this interesting contraption. Here's a taste of what a particularly energetic young person might have produced.
Thank you.
Hurdy-gurdy, a stringed instrument with a wheel where the bow should be and keys on the neck, was played first by Nigel Eaton on an anonymous bourrée, and then by the Broadside Band on a pair of tunes, The Good Man of Ballingeich and To a New Scotch Jig. The last piece we heard was another piece from Playford's Dancing Master performed by Jane Curtis on zither. By the mid-18th century, the suite of dances arranged for keyboard had already been a standard form for decades, and the idea of sitting down to listen to someone perform dance music, purely as music, was a familiar one. Composers could be subtle with their dance music creations in a way that would be impossible if the music were played over the sounds of thumping feet and panting gentlepersons. Johann Sebastian Bach's elaborate keyboard dance suites may be better known, but those of his contemporary Elisabeth Claude Jacquet de la Guerre are gaining recognition. Let's see how J.S. Bach's French style compares with that of a native.
Thank you.
The Gigue from Johann Sebastian Bach's French Suite No. 5 was performed by harpsichordist Bradley Brookshire, and a pair of gigues from Elisabeth Jacquet de Laguerre's Suite No. 2 was performed by Elizabeth Farr. Harmonia is a production of WFIU and comes from Indiana University. More information about Harmonia can be found on our website, harmonia.indiana.edu. Additional resources come from the Early Music Institute and the Thomas Binkley Archive of Early Music Recordings at the Indiana University Jacobs School of Music. Support for Harmonia comes from Goldberg Magazine, an international magazine of early music. Information on the web at goldbergweb.com. Additional technical support for Harmonia comes from KOHM at Texas Tech University in Lubbock, Texas. The writer for this edition of Harmonia was Catherine Hawks. Special thanks to WFIU studio engineer Mike Pashkash and our staff, Carrie Boyce, Emily Blackland McCord, Luann Johnson, and Scott Witzke. Harmonia's executive producer is Christina Kuzmich, and I'm Angela Mariani, inviting you to join us again for the next edition of Harmonia.